I said sometimes we need a reality check. We just need to step back and to re-look at a situation. It's funny, when I was in the hospital, I thought I was really sore and in a really bad way, and then I just looked around me, and I saw that there were others in a much worse way than I was. I took a reality check, and I was thankful for the fact that it was just my appendix. And even, I've told you this before, but I think it is relevant. Whenever we first went for our year to South Africa, the first 2 weeks were a nightmare. They were busy. We were running around. Things weren't happening. We weren't finding somewhere to live. Our boxes that we had imported or exported, I don't know what you call it, exported to import. Anyway, our boxes were stuck in customs. We couldn't get them through. Everything was basically falling apart. We could very easily have came back home. But we stopped. And we took a step back and looked at the situation, remembering that the Lord had called us to do it and had called us to go and that he would provide. And as then we handed it over to him, instead of us worrying and working out and trying to figure everything out, that's when it started to turn around, when we took a reality check and we remembered that God is in control. And reality check just basically means that. The definition is an occasion on which one is reminded of the state of things in the real world. And often we need to do a reality check on our lives. Consider the state of our Christian lives. Because some of us are really busy in church. We're doing lots of stuff, serving and going to lots of different things. Some of us are just coming along to church because we've always come along to church. And sometimes we know there's just something not right, or we're not feeling it when we're in worship. And tonight, and hopefully as we go through this sermon series of Reality Check, it will help us to have a reality check on our faith, on why we believe what we believe, and the difference that is meant to make in our lives. And hopefully we will see that it will help us in our Christian walk. So first of all, and I hope you've got your Bibles opened in 1 John, the first thing we see here as we think about a reality check is that for John, the reality of life, of our life, is found in the reality of who Jesus is. In the first four verses, John basically just gets straight into it, not like a lot of other letters where there's like a welcome and a hello, how are you, and all that. It's just straight in. He is grounding everything that he is going to say in his experience and the change that happened to his life because of the reality of who Jesus was for him and who Jesus is. And from these words, I hope, of John, we will see challenges for us that help us to do a reality check in our lives as we consider the reality of our lives. So we need to take a step back and see who Jesus is. Or maybe for some of it, just remember who Jesus is. John said of Jesus, he was from the beginning, the word of life, the eternal life. In verse 2, we see, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. In one of John's other books, in the Gospel of John, we read this at the start. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life is the light of men. And then light shines in the darkness. This is who Jesus is. He was with God at the beginning. He, through him, all things were created, are held together. He is the light into this dark world to solve the problem of sin so that we can know God. And when it says there, eternal life, what John is saying is he is salvation. He is our salvation. Only through Jesus can we experience real life. Only through knowing Jesus and who Jesus is can we know the wonder of eternal life. Again, in the book of John, the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is who Jesus is, our salvation. He came, lived, died, was resurrected so that we can know life. We can know eternal life. And the reality is that we need to believe in this. and that God, Jesus, is the only way to God. Again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The reality is that Jesus is the only way. The only way. Again, when Jesus was talking in the Gospel of John, and he was talking about being a good shepherd, we see two different ways of life, basically. We see that the thief comes to only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came to give us full life. Without Jesus, we follow basically Satan, who just wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. Doesn't want anything good for our lives. And this gives us reality, gives us a perspective on our life. As we step back and do a reality check, the reality of our life is found in the reality of who Jesus is and what then we do with that. We need to see who Jesus is and that he is the only way to have real life and to know eternal life. Then the reality of who Jesus is means that we need a personal encounter and fellowship with Jesus. In verse 1, John says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. He had a personal encounter with Jesus, the word of life, the eternal life, the light of the world. And he talks about his senses, how he heard. He heard the teachings of Jesus. He had seen all of his miracles. He had touched the nails, the holes where the nails had been in the hands of our resurrected Lord. And he believed. And then he says, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Through that personal encounter, he had fellowship with God. He had fellowship with Jesus. And fellowship, well, we know what fellowship is. It's communion. It's communicating with each other. It is sharing life together, the good, the bad. It's a close relationship. He had that fellowship with Jesus because of his personal encounter. And again, John records these words in Revelation, which Jesus said. He said, here am I. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. I just love the picture there of eating with Jesus and that fellowship we can have with him. And just imagine, I know whenever you're at home and you're at your dinner, you're talking, you're sharing what's been happening in your life and just sharing that fellowship with the Lord. But we must open the door and respond in faith. So we need to step back and ask ourselves, have I or am I continuing to encounter Jesus, having that personal encounter with Jesus? And the sign of a personal encounter with Jesus is that we are having fellowship with him, spending time with Jesus. Again, it was said this morning and it's frequently being brought up at the moment. Are we spending time with our Lord, fellowship with him, praying, speaking to him, communicating with him, reading his word, meditating on his word, praising him, worshiping him, serving him, loving him, witnessing? Is that the reality of our life? Because of our encounter with Jesus, we are spending time with him. Again, Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. He knows us. He loves us. He desires to spend time with us and have fellowship with us. Do we do the same? Do we know our shepherd? If we are not doing these things, spending time with the Lord. What is that saying about the reality of our personal encounter with Jesus? And we see also talks about fellowship with each other. And John wanted them to have fellowship with each other. And we need to have fellowship together as well. And I will mention this again later on. But it's interesting, a couple of Saturday mornings ago, I leave the girls off and they go swimming. And then I go to Costa. It's great, you know. But I left them off and I was going into Costa and I saw a couple of people from church. So I went and sat down beside them and I had a good chat. But we were talking about God stuff. We were having fellowship. We were putting the world to rights. And if anybody listened to us, you know, everything would be great. Well, maybe. But, you know, it was a wonderful time. We were talking about God, what God is doing in the town, in the world, in our lives. That was a lot better than what probably would have happened when I went in and not spoken to anybody. I'd had my sermon in front of me because I kind of was going to read over it. But I also would have checked Facebook and lots of different news websites and stuff like that. We're to have fellowship together. It builds us up. It strengthens us. It gives us a better understanding of who Jesus is as we share our lives together. Our encounter with Jesus changes our lives. So we need to step back and we need to realize that fellowship with God and Jesus and others is a goal in our life. We need that personal encounter and fellowship with him. And then we see that the reality of Jesus, who Jesus is, means that we need to respond by testifying and proclaiming. John's purpose in this letter was to proclaim about Jesus, to testify the work of Jesus, so that those who would read it and heard it being read, that they would have fellowship with Jesus and with them. They would grow in their faith. That was the reality of his Christian life, to build up Christians, to also witness. Is this us? Are we like John? Our response to who Jesus is, our personal encounter with him and having fellowship with him, should lead us to testify and bear witness and to proclaim what we have seen and what we have heard in our lives. You can see how he uses so many times the word proclaim, proclaim, testify, declare to you. That is what a life that responds to Jesus, the reality of who Jesus is, that's what they do. What do we proclaim? In verse 1, it says we proclaim concerning the word of life, the good news. We tell about the good news, about who Jesus actually is. Is our life telling that? How we bear witness, what we say. Then in verse 2, life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. We testify, we bear witness to the difference Jesus has made in our lives. The life that we now experience, the life that we enjoy because of our relationship with him. So we are telling people, maybe it's at work or down the street or our neighbors, we are telling them about what Jesus is doing in our lives. We are saying what the Lord has done. We are sharing with them how we have been praying about something, maybe what we have been reading and how God has encouraged us. We are not ashamed of how God is working in our lives. We are discussing Jesus. We are gossiping the gospel. We are showing his love. It's interesting, there's a while ago, I was having a conversation with somebody about the future. They actually were the ones that said, oh, God will lead. This was a non-Christian. I should have been saying that. That's what I should have said. We are to proclaim and we are to testify as our response to the reality of who Jesus is, to our personal encounter with him and the fellowship we have with him. Is this the reality of our Christian lives? Step back and think about your last week. Is that the reality of your last week or your last weekend? Also in verse 3, He says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us." We do this because we want those who do not know the Lord to know the Lord, to have fellowship with us, but to have fellowship with Jesus. I remember I used a university illustration last week. I feel I'm being lazy with it, but I'm going to use it again. It was at university that I realized I had to bear witness. I had to testify. I had to proclaim my faith. Because basically up until that point in my life, do you know, I've been pretty much surrounded by Christians all the time. I'd been at church, all Christians. All my friends were Christians. Everything I did until I was 18 was basically surrounded by Christians. It was intriguing. But then when I was at university and I had to stand up for my faith, I also realized that there's all these people who were sitting beside me, who were going for dinner for me, for coffee with me, who didn't know who the Lord was. And I wanted them so desperately to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. So it changed how I spoke, how I conducted myself, that my life was a testimony to Jesus and a proclamation to his love. We need to step back and realize that if we know Jesus and the life that only he gives, then we need to respond by testifying and proclaiming it. And then the reality of who Jesus is, we need joy. Verse 4, John said this, "We write this to make our joy complete." The reality of John's life and all that he did, all of those things in that little list there, was because it brought him joy. Proclaiming, testifying, having fellowship with God, Jesus, and others, it was so that he could have joy. And is this how we find our joy? Where do we look to for our joy? What do we put before God? Again, recently we've been talking about idols, the idols that we have, things that are more important to us than God. These things that we look to for joy instead of maybe coming to church and worshiping together or reading his word or living for him. What do our minds keep going back to being distracted by? Do we find our joy in the Lord Jesus and what he did for us and the promise of eternal life and that Holy Spirit that is working inside us and working for him? We need to step back and ask ourselves, what is the reality of where we find our joy? And then maybe make a few changes. And then second, we see in this passage that the reality of light is found in the reality of what Jesus did. We need to realize that God is light. And John points to the reality of God in verse 5. "This is a message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." God is light. He is holy. He is perfect. There is no darkness in him. When Isaiah saw him in the temple, he was overcome by the feeling that he was unworthy and that he should die. But no, God used him. And the reality is that God is light. And then we need to realize that we battle darkness. We battle darkness within us and around us. Is it going to come back now? Oh, you're great. Verse 6. "If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth." If we are Christians, then we seek to be in the light. That should be the goal in our lives, to be like God, to please him. But we need to then remember that before Jesus came into our lives, the light of him came into us, we were in darkness. And we are in a spiritual battle. And again, this was mentioned earlier. We are in a spiritual battle between the light and the darkness, which is outside us and around us, trying to take us down, but also which is within us, our own selfish desires, the old self against the new self, the human desires against the spiritual desires. There is a war, and the darkness wants to come in and destroy us, to take us away from the Lord, so that we won't see the reality of what Jesus did. So therefore, we will not want to follow him, trust him, believe in him. Darkness wants to get in and to destroy our fellowship with God. And we need to be aware of this. And we need to be sensitive to those darknesses that are within us. Those things that take us away from God. And again, this is a little bit like the joy thing, I suppose. Different things that are taking us away from God. And you know, if we're not spending time with God, having fellowship with him, we are going to become much more susceptible to the darkness, because we won't even see it, because we won't be looking out for it. If we're not aware that we're in a battle, we're going to be taken down. So we need to beware of the subtlety of seeing, of the subtlety of darkness, those little things that will just catch our attention. Maybe that's on TV, or maybe that is in what we're reading or what we are allowing into our lives, to speak into our lives. We also need to beware of the subtlety of the lies that we tell ourselves. We are so good at telling ourselves that, oh, that little thing that I'm doing, that's not so bad. It's okie dokie. You know, it's only a wee teeny tiny thing. We know that it's taken us away from God, but it's not a big issue. But it continues to grow and grow and grow in our lives until damage is done. The reality is that we battle darkness within and around us. Be aware of that reality. Then we need to realize that only Jesus is good enough. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. See here that it is only through Jesus, through the cross, through the blood of Jesus on that cross, that we can be in the light. Only Jesus is good enough. Only through Jesus can we win this battle against the darkness, through the gift that he gives us of the Holy Spirit to help us. Jesus again said he is a good shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. This is the reality of what Jesus did for us, how we can know light, how we can live holding on to that promise of eternal life. It is only through Jesus, not through anything we could do. The reality of us experiencing the light of God is that it is only through what Jesus won for us on the cross. And again, we need to realize that fellowship is important. We've mentioned this before. But again, in verse 7, it's mentioned fellowship with one another. Sometimes think that where Christians are not getting along, you know, where there's just not experiencing fellowship. There's arguments, there's falling outs between them. There's like a general coldness maybe between each other. Why is that? It's because of the sin that is within. Undealt with sin has deeper consequences. It can destroy our fellowship. So we need to take steps to go against that and to seek fellowship and to make sure our fellowship is good, that we are with each other, that we are supporting each other, loving each other, praying for each other, confessing to each other. Fellowship together is so important as we think about the reality of what Jesus did. He wants us to love each other. It is one of the things that we do, and if we do well, it is a witness to the world. So how is our fellowship with one another as we step back and think about that? And the reality is that fellowship, friendship, it matters. And we can only really have it through Jesus. So we know that the reality of life is found in the reality of who Jesus is. We need to see who Jesus is. We need a personal encounter with Jesus and have fellowship with him and each other. We need to respond to who Jesus is by testifying, bearing witness to his work in our lives and proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And we need joy to feel that joy that all of that gives us. We know that the reality of light is found in the reality of what Jesus did. So we need to realize that God is light, that we are in a battle. We are in a battle of the darkness that is within us and around us. And it is only with Jesus, through Jesus being good enough, that we can defeat that, and that fellowship is important. But we need to have our reality check. And with this, we finish. Verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The reality is that we cannot claim to be without sin. We can try really hard to do the right thing, to be the best Christians we can, but we will slip up and we will mess up. So the reality is that we cannot claim to be without sin. The reality is, because of that, we need to confess regularly. We need to be in a place where we bring to the Lord our sins. Because look at verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confess our sins. How often do we confess our sins? Take a reality check on that. Do we confess them to each other and pray for each other? Do we stand up and say, I have done this wrong? And then repent, turn away, and try to do the best that we can. It's funny, again, as I said, the issues we had in South Africa, the sin issue there was really simple. It was just pride. I was so prideful. I was like, we're doing this for the Lord. We're just doing this for the Lord. Look at us. We're so awesome. You know, I was pride. It was whenever I confessed that and repented of it that we were purified, that I was purified of that, and the righteousness of the Lord, I was forgiven. So let us trust Jesus in our reality check, who he is and what he did. Let us not belittle what Jesus did for us in the cross. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Let us never, ever be guilty of belittling the wonderful sacrifice our Lord Jesus made for us. Because look what John writes to these people who he loved in chapter 2. He says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The reality is, of my life, and I know this is true of me, is that I do sin. The reality is that we will sin. We will sin more than we ever want to sin, and we will sin more than we would like to admit to anybody that we do. But we can have confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ and in his sacrifice for us on the cross, where he took the punishment and the blame for all of the things that we have done wrong for our sins. And what he did for us, we can be forgiven. But we need to continually come back. If we have sinned, if we are sinning, we need to catch ourselves on and we need to confess. None of us are perfect. I think that's one of the problems. I know sometimes in my life, sometimes I do think I'm perfect, you know. I know you find that hard to believe. But I do. And then I don't realize the sins that are happening and I don't confess them. And it damages my relationship with God. And I need a reality check so often in my life to stop and say, I do sin. What are the sins? And then ask for forgiveness, plead for forgiveness, and then repent. Let us be those dear children who listen to the words of those around us who want to help us to live for the Lord. And then the final thing in our reality check is let us tell the world about it. Again, yes, we've mentioned this. But at the very end of that, it says, he, as in Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. What Jesus achieved on the cross is great enough for everyone. How do they know about this? Whenever we go and we tell them about the good news. Are we doing that? Are we going and telling the world about Jesus, the cross, his sacrifice, his atoning sacrifice for us, so that we can know the Lord, we can know life, we can know eternal life, we can be forgiven because of his righteousness, not our own. As we finish, we're going to sing a song called Man of Sorrows. Now, in this song, there are many words and there's challenges in it that I want us to really catch on to. But while it is being sang, and I'm going to try this. This is only to be done if you feel comfortable to do this. But what I have up here in front of the cross are three tables. And on each table, there's a few pens and there's a few pieces of paper. Okay? And the first piece of paper, it's a little piece of paper like this, okay? You can see it's just got a wee cutout of the cross on it. And we need to confess our sins and bring it to the Lord. And maybe there's something in our lives, in my life, in your life, that is holding us back from living fully for the Lord. Well, I know that we say this many times in church, but you know, in the Old Testament, so much of the stuff they did was physical. They brought their stuff to the altar and they set it on. So what I would love, if you feel led to, is that you come up to one of these tables during the singing of this last song. And on one of these pieces of paper, all you do is you write down what that sin is, what that thing is, that thing that's holding you back. You write it on and you just set it in front of the cross. And then just go back to your seat. There's something about the physicality of doing this can help us. The other piece of paper has got a wee heart on it. And that, if you have been thinking about in this reality check, if there's something you want to give more of your heart to the Lord, if you want to be worshiping him more, praising him more, reading your Bible more, witnessing more, having fellowship more, praying more, if there's something more you need to give over to him, then write it on that little one with a heart. I know already what I'm going to write on this here. I know that sin in my life, which is actually at this present moment in time, actually holding me back a little bit. I know what I'm going to write on that. If you know that sin, let me challenge you to respond to the Lord and leave it at the cross, having confidence in what the Lord can do for us. Or if there's that something more you want to give him, write it on the little heart one. You want to give him more of your heart and leave it at the cross and allow that to challenge you. Some of the words of this song, oh, the rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. This is an opportunity for you to make that decision, to free yourself of that sin through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in us. And my prayer is that each of us will leave here with the last words of this song, which says, "Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee." We will be a people whose hearts are singing to the Lord. That will be the reality of our lives. Hallelujah means praise ye the Lord. And that will be the words on the tip of our tongue and the action of our heart.